Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text for today is the Gospel of Matthew. I will not reread it from chapter 9 and chapters 10. Let me begin by saying to all who have been blessed by God with fatherhood, happy Father's Day to you, as the sermon text really doesn't provide an opportunity for that. I'd like to start with just a simple message to those who believe that being a Christian can give you your best life now. I would like to do so by simply looking at the litany of the list of the apostles. Look at chapter 10, starting at verse 2. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter. Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't find himself, well, fit to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus was crucified. At least that's how church tradition teaches us. And then there's Andrew, his brother, at Edessa. He was crucified. And James, the son of Zebedee, well, he wasn't crucified. He was beheaded. Then John, his brother, the only of the disciples who died of natural causes, although not for lack of trying. There is, according to church tradition, there is an attempt to boil him in oil, but he survives by the grace of God. Then you have James, the son of Zebedee. Philip, crucified. Bartholomew, crucified. Thomas, well, killed with a spear. Matthew, the tax collector, killed with a halberd. James, the son of Alphaeus, killed with a fuller's club. Thaddeus, crucified. Simon the Zealot, crucified. Judas Iscariot, well, he hung himself. Committed suicide. So to those who are teaching this theology that you can have your best life now, I would like them to get in a time machine and teach that to the apostles, who not only died confessing the faith, but died under persecution while confessing the faith. Let us also not forget that they followed in the train of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who himself was crucified. Well, by those he came to save. So today, a pastor and parishioners alike join the long train of those who will be rejected and despised and even hated by those who you bring the gospel to. But we can't let this discourage us or frighten us from our task that is at hand. We can't let this change our message either, because the message Christ gives, not us. Because we can't forget that Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, has told us the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So to a world filled with wolves, we go forward with the authority of Jesus and his word and nothing else. No swords, no wisdom of our own. We are simply to declare Christ crucified and risen, that mankind might live. Just look at the text. When Jesus sends out the 12 prior to his crucifixion, he tells them, "You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bags for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you." Yet, at the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is sending out the apostles again, right before he's betrayed, he gives them this instructions. He says, "When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything?" And the apostles' response, "Nothing." And then he said to them, "But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one." To which The disciples respond, well, we have two swords. And Jesus, of course, does this. You don't understand. Not that I would have been any better. I would have been looking for a third sword. But it is very maddening to think. And then in our text, Jesus sends the 12 out to go only to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what it says in the text. Because the true shepherd has come, you see, and they have wandered from his fold, and he is seeking them. Because they wandered off seeking what was, well, what they thought were lush fields that turned out to only be, well, fields that were stuck with thorns and thistles. They must be warned. Jesus sends the apostles out. Tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel proclamation was never intended to be hoarded, though. It was always intended for all. In fact, look at the strange path that Jesus says it will take to reach the Gentiles amongst the apostles. Beware of men. It's kind of an interesting statement when you think about it. Beware of men, yet I'm sending you to them. Right? For they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. It's not 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but it certainly gets you to the Gentiles awful quick, doesn't it? So even when sending the 12 to the lost sheep of Israel, the Gentiles get included in the hearing of the gospel and the suffering of the Christians. You see, as much as we don't like the concept of suffering, the suffering of the Christian is actually for the benefit of the world. Why would we think otherwise? Salvation is brought to mankind through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, not by His glory, power, and might. And please don't get me wrong, Jesus' glory, power, and might are real, but the height of His love is found hanging on His throne, the cross. We must hear then our Lord's message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The problem for us today is that we like to use this as an excuse. We don't see the miraculous signs the way our flesh wants. Like with the 12, Jesus gives them the authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. And we're like, well, that might work. That might cause us to actually wake up on a Sunday morning and show up at church. You see, for Jesus, though, the healing and exorcisms were simply signs that bore witness to the coming of the kingdom of heaven. Healing diseases and defeating Satan's servants were signs of Jesus' final defeat of the devil and all the effects of sin. This happens when Jesus dies on the cross and 3 days later rises from the dead. This is, after all, how the kingdom comes. The mission of the 12, that is, the proclaiming of the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, was merely an extension of Jesus' mission to proclaim the gospel to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus is preparing the 12. They should expect to be received as Jesus Himself was received, with rejection and crosses of their own. This proclaiming work does not end with their persecution. Rather, the preaching mission that they are set on is just getting started. The same gospel message is to be proclaimed to all nations even today. And it still comes with Jesus' authority, for He has promised never to leave us or forsake us, to be with us always to the end of the age. And even today, Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven to the lost sheep, but not just the lost sheep of Israel, to the lost sheep of Pilgrim. That'd be you and me. Today, with Jesus' authority, the kingdom of heaven is brought through His word and His sacraments, as Jesus still raises the dead heals the sick, and casts out demons. You say you haven't seen it? Then close your eyes. Close your eyes and use the organ of faith, your ears, and hear the word that teaches a proper understanding. A proper understanding of what happens in a holy baptism, where baby or adult are brought to the font, and there their sins are washed away, that old Adam is killed, and they rise that new creature in Christ, baptized into Jesus, covered in His blood. A new Adam that we come into every day the rest of our life as we live in our baptism. Hear the word that teaches you rightly to understand the Lord's Supper, which offers you His very body and blood under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of your sins and the certainty of your salvation. And as you learned in your confirmation classes, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation for all. Hear the word of God as it continues to make demons flee and bestows the grace of God for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then give thanks. For the kingdom of heaven is certainly at hand. Give thanks, dear friends, in Christ. We are no longer lost sheep without a shepherd, dead in our trespasses and sins. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God, and He is our good shepherd. We who were lost have been found. We have been granted faith in the good shepherd, our living and life-giving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He brings for you and me His kingdom, and we rejoice. We rejoice because it comes today. Your sins are forgiven, and life and salvation are yours. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.